From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Maynard Villers reading The Expedition by Lauren Robinson. Now let's begin with Chapter 1 of The Expedition. Astronauts James Parker and Michael Murphy completed their assigned tasks in the space shuttle as it soared through the darkness of space. It was the last flight scheduled for Charger 2 this year, 2007, and Jim looked forward to next year when the new advanced Charger 3 would be put into service. The three-day journey into space had been to correct the orbit of an errant communications satellite and take routine images of Earth's mineral resources to see if they corresponded with earlier findings. Now, with that done, Commander Parker relaxed in the spacecraft, waiting for instructions to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. It would be a while. The flight had gone so well, they were ahead of schedule, and Jim had time to think of his coming wedding, which was set for the Saturday following their return. He had met Cindy Dearman 2 years ago, and was captivated by her dark features, long black hair, and quick wit. He glanced at his watch and turned to his co-pilot. Air Force Colonel Michael Murphy was taking his turn at sleep. He lay strapped to his rack, arms stuck out as if reaching for something. Jim reached over and shook a floating arm.
"Mike, it's time. Are you going to sleep all day?"
Mike rubbed his eyes, unstrapped his harness, and looked around the shuttle.
"You just ruined a beautiful dream, my friend. Give me 5 minutes more and I'll catch that blonde."
Jim grinned at his friend and said,
"You can catch her next time around. Right now we better review the re-entry checklist. I hope the landing is better than the liftoff. I ain't lying in this thing waiting for those engineers to make last-minute corrections."
The pilots followed the familiar procedure, and when they were satisfied all instruments were operating perfectly, they sat back to watch the monitors. Mike suddenly leaned forward with a start.
"What the hell is that?"
Jim glanced at Mike's screen.
"Looks like some kind of cloud formation."
"Up here? Can't be any clouds. There's no atmosphere."
"Beats me."
There was concern in Jim's voice as he switched on the radio.
"Houston, this is Charger 2. Come in, Houston."
"This is Houston," responded Mission Control.
"Go ahead, Jim."
"We seem to be flying towards some kind of fog bank or large cloud. Can you confirm?"
"A cloud? In space? Nothing shows on our screens, Jim."
"Well, we sure as hell see it up here. You want us to change course?"
"Nothing shows on our monitors, Charger 2. You are on course for re-entry. Better stay where you are. Maybe you have a malfunction."
"Roger, Houston. We'll stay on course. Charger 2 out."
Maybe we do have a malfunction, Jim thought. But he was going to keep a close eye on the monitor. When the outer fringe of the fog reached the spacecraft, Jim thumbed the radio switch again.
"Houston, this is Charger 2. Damn it, there is something here. Our screen shows streaks of fog going by."
"Jim, you're breaking up. I can't read you. Come in, Charger 2.
Jim never heard the transmission. All he received was a crackling sound, then silence. "Mike," he said, "I lost Houston." He felt the spacecraft shudder and flashes of light pulse several times in quick succession. The mysterious fog completely engulfed the craft, and the video screen showed a thick covering of white. The shuttle seemed to stand still as the cloud appeared to rotate around the craft. After what felt like an eternity, the mass slowly dissipated and the shuttle entered the familiar darkness of space. Mike checked the computers for damage and held his breath every time he flipped a switch or entered a question. All instruments responded on command, and he let out a sigh of relief.
"Doesn't look like there's any damage, Jim."
Jim nodded and tried again to reach the command center.
"Houston, this is Charger 2. Come in, Houston."
No answer. Twice more he tried, then switched off the microphone. "They should receive us now, Mike. I wonder if something's happened to the radio in that cloud mass."
"All the indicator lights show it's working perfectly," Mike said. "The antenna's in place, so that's not the problem."
Jim tried several more times to reach Mission Control, trying alternative frequencies, but the result was the same.
"Well, hell," he muttered and switched off the microphone.
The re-entry parameters looked good. If the approach was off target, they could resort to emergency procedures and go to manual control. As the ship descended on course through Earth's atmosphere, the computers and guidance systems were showing everything normal. Through the breaks in the clouds, they could see the Pacific Ocean, and then the California coast became clear ahead of them. Jim studied the coast as they descended on glide path and exclaimed,
"Where the hell is L.A.?"
"It's clear as a bell." Sample complete. Ready to continue?